Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And we have open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. Toll free, 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to call or keep listening. You'll learn how the Basic Gospel will intersect your life every day. If you have a Bible question or if there's some issue you're facing that you'd like to talk about, this is a great time to call. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open. We await hearing from you. 1-800-677-9377. So, whether you're calling or listening, the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Tomorrow we start a wonderful new series on the Basic Gospel broadcast. Through the entire month of October, we will be working through the book of Revelation. It's a first for this ministry, but this book of Revelation rests upon the four promises of the new covenant. It is the culmination of the good news of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and resurrection. They took place at a point in time 2,000 years ago, but that effort on Christ's behalf, his achievement for us, has lasting value. It's eternal in nature. It impacts us here and now. It impacts us in eternity. And so this book of Revelation is the culmination of this good news. We get to see it carried out to its final resting place, so to speak.
Right.
And it is a glorious, glorious book. So that's why we have spent so much time over this past week talking about the new covenant, because the book of Revelation rests upon this new covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in at his death.
Yeah.
It is a wonderful covenant. It's a covenant in which we as human beings can experience rest in our souls. Boy, we go through life, we're topsy-turvy, we're conflicted inside, we're anxious. We have all kinds of struggles that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And through this new covenant, we can let those struggles go. We can find rest and peace for our souls. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that we have not fallen short of it. And then he goes on to say, there then remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. So what is the end destination of this new covenant? It is rest for us. We were so involved in doing all kinds of things to earn God's love and acceptance, to try to appease him, to try to get those black marks of sin erased from beside our names. But there's nothing that we could do to change all of that. But Jesus Christ did something on our behalf. He finished his work. He sat down at the right hand of God the Father, and now we can sit down. We can let go of all of those futile efforts to try to gain God's acceptance. We can let go of that and rest in the fact that we are accepted because of the work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We can also look forward to a future with him, not only here, but beyond the grave. And that's what Revelation is all about. And so we're going to start that series tomorrow. We're encouraging our listeners to sign up for our email subscription list. You will be getting something daily in your inbox on each chapter that we're going to be dealing with.
Right.
So one per day through the month of October. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't signed up, go ahead and sign up. I think you don't want to miss this.
Yeah, click subscribe in the upper menu at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net and the prominent subscribe link, and that'll take you to a registration form so that you can join the email list. We want you to do that. We want you to be a part of this Revelation study. You know, Bob, one of the exciting aspects of that is that this is going to be an interactive study, unlike most of the teaching that you hear on radio about the Revelation, which is pre-recorded. Since we're live, it's the opportunity for our listeners to call in and be a part and be interactive with us as we study through the Revelation. Well, right now, plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377, toll-free, wherever you hear the broadcast, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to the Bronx and talk with Glenn, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Glenn.
Good afternoon. I have a friend who for some time has not has given up the doctrine of hell. He says that that was a doctrine initiated by the Catholic Church, and that a loving God would not consign his creation to everlasting punishment. Is that a doctrine strong enough to separate over?
Well, it's not the doctrine of hell that's the issue there. It's the doctrine concerning God. We try to make God in our own image. We try to create him based on what we think God should be like. But we're going to miss the boat on coming up with that God. That's why we have to stand on what the Word of God reveals about him. That's why we have to stand on Jesus Christ himself, because in Christ we see what God's really all about. And God has offered up his Son, and he has made it so simple for people. We either receive Jesus, and once we receive Jesus, we receive life, or we reject Jesus. So what are you going to do with those people who reject Jesus, who raise their hand toward God and say, I want none of this Jesus stuff. I want to do my own thing. You're light. I'm in darkness. I like darkness better than light. Just go away and leave me to my own choices, my own vices, all of those sort of things. And so God has simply, according to their wishes, provided a place for them, separated from him. That's what we call hell. And they go there because of their willful rejection of Jesus Christ.
Well, he wouldn't say he's rejecting Jesus. He would say he's rejecting the doctrine of hell. And do you think it boils down to just a not believing in the Word of God and not the inerrancy of the Word?
Well, it could be that, Glenn. It could also just be, the idea of hell just is offensive to him in some way, shape, or another. And so he wants to remove the offense. And so he's just basically saying there is no hell. That's instead of dealing with the cold, hard facts as revealed in Scripture, he's avoiding that and just saying, hey, I'm gonna do away with it because that'll make me feel better. Well,
right.
It's not about you feeling better. It's about walking in truth. But here's a couple of passages that are pretty clear. It says, he will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled about among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. So it's very clear, those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who do not know God, they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of our Lord. And it's
where
not,
is that?
This is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. So it's very clear the punishment is based on their rejection of Jesus Christ. So
okay.
It would be like somebody holding out the cure for cancer and saying, if you will receive this, you can be made well. And the person with cancer saying, I don't like you. I don't want anything to do with your cure. I don't want it at all. You go take it somewhere else. But for me, I'm going to go on doing my own thing. Well, what's going to happen to that person? Well, he's going to die in his cancer. He's going to die because of that cancer that's in him. Why? Because he rejected the cure. That's how it's going to be. Jesus has offered life to those who are dead. And people raise their hand and say, I don't want that life. I want to keep living in my own sin. I want to continue where I am. And so they're going to be severed from God. and they're going to spend eternity separated from him. And then we see that punishment carried out in Revelation 20. It says, the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And that's Revelation 20, verse 13 and 14.
Right.
Pretty clear, isn't it, Glenn?
Yes, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So I think you just present these things to your friend and
right.
do it in a spirit of love and gentleness and just let God deal with it from there.
Right. Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for your call, Glenn. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this CD. The Basic Gospel Journey really lays the foundation of this new covenant, and we'd love to send that to you. Well, in the meantime, let's go to Long Island and talk with Wilfred. Hi, Wilfred.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. I have a question regarding homosexual. Are people born homosexual?
People are born sinners, and people are born spiritually dead. That's how we come into this world. We get that status or status from our parents. And that can be traced all the way back to Adam and Eve when they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Sin came into the world, into humankind at that point, and along with it, death. And that has been passed on to every single person born from that point forward. So we come into this world spiritually dead with an identity of sinner. Now, that can be manifested in all sorts of ways. It can be manifested in homosexuality. It can be manifested in greed. It can be manifested in all sorts of things, drunkenness and slander and all the things that the Word of God talks about. But how we were born was sinners, dead spiritually. And Jesus Christ solves that problem through his death, burial, and resurrection. So folks can say, you know, I was born this way. Others could say, well, you know, I'm not a homosexual, but I'm heterosexual, and I'm addicted to sex. And they can say they were born that way. Well, why they can say that is because they were born sinners, and that state has just manifested itself in that particular form of sin. So we get caught up in the sins and forget to explain the real problem and to offer the real solution. Folks are dead. They're spiritually dead, Wilford. They need life. And Jesus Christ is that source of life. When somebody comes to him by faith, they are made alive. They are raised spiritually from the dead. And once they're raised spiritually from the dead, Jesus Christ sends his spirit to live inside of him, that person. And then God's Spirit can start teaching them truth. And so all of those erroneous thoughts and beliefs that they had before starts getting pressed out of them. So I think we do ourselves a disservice by focusing on the sins instead of on the sin, the core issue of spiritual death. And if we'll concentrate on that and provide the solution, we'll see many more positive things happen in our communication with the lost.
All right, the second question I have, what is the difference between saved and reason?
What was that last word, saved and?
Faith and reason.
Risen?
Yes. Reason, when you are reasoning on something.
Oh, reasoning?
Reasoning.
Yes.
Okay. Reasoning is something the Spirit of God does with each and every one of us. Come, let us reason together. Salvation, being saved, is that moment we go from death to life, and then that process of salvation continues until we're with the Lord. And a part of that process is the Holy Spirit reasoning with our mind. bringing truth to our mind. That's how the Spirit of God works with us. So that's a part of this ongoing salvation of the soul's process that we're engaged in once we come to know Christ personally.
But can I say reason and faith, they work together?
If you say it in context of the Lord reasoning with us through His Spirit, that's how I would put it.
Yes, I'm talking about Hebrews 11, verse 19. It says, Abraham thought that God is powerful enough to bring Isaac to life. That's the reason why he obeyed to sacrifice his son. So what do you think of this? Is that the type of reasoning? Because the verb they use there is the verb thinking, to think.
Well, I think that's a great point, Wilford. Here, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. You have Abram in Genesis 15, one of the most important chapters in all the Word of God. He is having a conversation with God, and within this conversation, God gives the promise that through his seed, the world is going to be blessed. So he was talking to Abram about Jesus, that sometime in the future, there was this seed, somebody from his bloodline that would come into this world, and through him, the world would be blessed. And so Abram believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Well, several years later, when Abram was 100, that promise was fulfilled for him. He had a son, Isaac, and Isaac was going to be his heir, and through Isaac's bloodline, the seed would come, being Jesus Christ. And so he's raising Isaac, and he's probably very proud of this son of promise. His chest is just out and saying, boy, I love him, and Lord, thank you. And then one day, just out of the blue, he gets this fateful order, sacrifice him. Take him to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. And so he gathers up all of the supplies that he needs, and he has some folks that go with them, and off they go for a three-day journey. And I think in that three-day journey, this idea of resurrection hits Abraham's heart at this point. It's like, here God said that I'm going to give you a son, and through him the world is going to be blessed. If God is able to carry out that promise, then he also probably has the power to bring him back to life. And so I think that belief became so strong in Abraham's mind that he was actually willing to carry out the sacrifice of his son. I think he raised that knife after he put Isaac on the altar with this idea, I'm going to strike, he's going to die, and then God's going to bring him back. And that's what the book of Hebrews says, that there was a reasoning going on, a belief that took up residence in his heart that expanded out into his mind. Does that make sense?
All right, it makes sense. Thank you. Thank you so very much. May God bless you.
You too, Wilford. Wonderful question today. Let's go to Chilliwack, British Columbia, and talk to Kevin, listening to us on Carrie. Hi, Kevin.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
Yeah, I just wanted to phone and just encourage you guys. Just what a blessing hearing your radio show has been. My wife and I have really gotten a hold of this message of the new covenant over the last little while.
Wonderful.
And it's been awesome. And we're even taking this good news that we've heard. We're starting to run a class that we run now. That's a 12-week course that we run, and we're running it for our second time just because this good news is so good that we just have to share it with others. And I just want to say, it's just a breath of fresh air just to hear guys like you on the radio speaking this truth, speaking this good news, because there's just a lot of other stuff on the radio and that is taught in churches today that just really isn't good news at all. And so I just wanted to encourage you with that.
No, matter of fact, I think a lot of the stuff we hear we could label as bad news.
I mean, bad news, yeah.
Yeah, any time you hear a message that says you have to do this, 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 and this for God in order to be saved or in order to be blessed or in order to, you know, whatever it might be, you've just inserted bad news into a person's life because we don't have what it takes to carry out those rules and those regulations. That's why we needed a Savior. That's why God had to send Jesus on our behalf, and that's why he had to usher in a covenant that was totally dependent upon him, with us not in the equation at all. The minute we're added to the equation, whatever that is becomes bad news, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I had an experience just the other day. I was my wife was driving home and listening to a fairly famous preacher on the radio, and so she said, "You got to listen to this." So I listened to it, and just the law being mixed in, I this feeling of fear just came over me. It reminded me of when I was a kid, growing up in church, and just how that made me feel. And it's just, I just feel bad for the people out there going to churches today that are afraid of God, that don't have a proper fear of the Lord, that healthy respect and reverence, but are actually afraid of God. And then, like I said, I just want to thank you for it's the culture of grace that you are providing for people out there. And I just want to encourage people to just surround themselves with teachers and people like yourselves, just to be immersed in this gospel of grace, because it's so important. Because I just see lots of what I call schizophrenic Christians out there who are feeling good one moment and then really bad about themselves the next, and are just so confused and not living in the freedom that they can really have. And so, I didn't really have a question. I guess my question was, you know, what are some of the things that happen when we do mix the law in with grace? You know, what are some of the effects that it has on people? And
when we mix the old and the new covenant, it's like when you put a little bit of yeast into a wad of dough. That yeast is soon going to take over. If you put a little drop of red paint on a white tablecloth, all your concentration and attention is going to be on that little red dot on this big, huge tablecloth. And pretty soon that takes over in your mind. And that's the way it is when you mix in a little bit of law with grace. Pretty soon the law takes over. And when the law takes over, we lose sight of the grace of God. We lose sight of the forgiveness that we have in Christ. We lose sight of the righteousness that we have in Christ. We lose sight of this new life that we have in Christ, and everything falls back on our shoulders. It becomes a me-centered message. I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do all sorts of things, and our eyes get focused on us instead of the Lord, and that's never a good thing. Well, Kevin, we're out of time. We sure appreciate your call today.
Well,
let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this Basic Gospel Journey. We'd love to put it in your hands.
Yes,
hang
indeed.
On.
Thank you.
You know, through the years, this ministry has been supported through the prayers and gifts of our listeners, people who have heard truth and responded to it, like Kevin. And today, it's no different. Your support is vital if we're going to remain on the air with the good news. And if you can help at this time, well, we encourage you to go online to basicgospel.net or phone 1-800-727-2828. And join us with your most generous gift, Basic Gospel. It's the message God wants us all to hear. Again, that's basicgospel.net or phone 1-800-727-2828. When you do, today for the final time, we're going to send you a copy of our CD called The Basic Gospel Journey. It's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. While you're online at basicgospel.net, click subscribe in the upper menu to join the email list as we've been talking about, because starting on tomorrow's broadcast, you'll want to be on the list, as we'll be sending out a day-by-day synopsis, a preview by email, to everyone on the list, just to preview our 23-day study on the book of Revelation. So click subscribe at basicgospel.net and you'll be all set for that exciting study again, beginning tomorrow on Basic Gospel. So friends, until then, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, all the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at that same time as we as we indulge ourselves in the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.